Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Scary, scary hitter right here. 9-7 Red Sox the pitch. Baez drives one high and deep. You got to be kidding. It's deep to left field and it is out of here. Another three-run homer for Javi Baez. And after all the heroics from the Red Sox, they lose it 10-9. The Javi Baez Show in Detroit, a soul crusher for the Red Sox.
Talked a lot of Celtics on the show today. A little bit of Patriots schedule leak. Should get back to the Red Sox, this team.
Just, oh, boy.
Last night was a real roller coaster. I was flipping around a little bit into the basketball, Keith.
Sure.
But I kept flipping back to the Sox. I'm like, oh, okay, they're up in extras. They'll probably win this. Wrong.
No.
Tigers even up the scoring. Force an 11th inning. And you go, okay. All of a sudden, maybe it's a little more competitive than I thought. Christian Campbell hits a home run. They go up into the 11th.
Feeling pretty good about that.
I felt real good about that one. I'm like, okay, well, the Red Sox definitely win this.
Definitely.
And then you get the Javi Baez 3-1 run walk-off.
Oh, no.
I don't think Cora is exempt from anything. I would have him on the list for his bullpen decisions last night. But big picture, back at 22-22, basically the same spot they were a year ago. No better, no worse, despite adding talent this offseason. What's wrong with this team?
I mean, it's been a variety of things so far this year. I think Cora is very much on the list. He's even admitted to some of the decisions that he's made are based more on like future games than current games. I don't love that. I think Tanner Houck and Jarren Duran are two big examples of guys that were great last year and were one of the reasons why you were kind of a surprising 500 team, whereas now this year you're an underachieving 500 team. But you had an all-star center fielder, MVP candidate, who's like a below average or maybe average player right now. Tanner Houck was an all-star. Horrible. He's been horrible this year.
He would be bad in AAA right now.
Yeah. Because the guys you brought in that were supposed to like push your team over the top have all been pretty good. Bregman, Chapman, Crochet. But everybody else kind of, and the first base situation's been a big glaring issue. When Casas was in the lineup, he wasn't hitting. Then he's out of the lineup, which adds to more Devers drama and no real first baseman, and so you're kind of swimming in it. But they've just been wildly inconsistent. The bullpen was good early, then has kind of fallen apart. Has been the reason why they lost a bunch of games because they were actually scoring. They scored a bunch of runs. They had like what 14 hits last night. So it wasn't a lineup issue last night. But then there were a couple of games earlier where you're just not scoring any runs. That first game against Kansas City, you score one run in 12 innings. So they've been kind of like what they were last year, but we didn't expect much out of last year's team, right? Last year's team was like, I don't know what they're doing. They're kind of just treading water. This year they go out and make some big moves in the offseason, and yet they're still treading water.
Yeah, last night, and it's extra innings, and the Red Sox, you know, had misplayed a ball earlier in the game. Nick Sogard, who had a couple of hits, that highlights some of the issues you have defensively at first base. But look, if Devers is your first baseman, he might not even get to the ball, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
He could butcher it as much as anybody else, whether it's Meyer, Anthony, Campbell, Devers, whomever at first base. But I think some of that's illustrated by it last night. They blow a bunch of leads. I don't really fault him for going to Whitlock last night, but Whitlock gives up another bomb. Slayton actually was good last night, but both of those guys have been sketchy lately, especially Whitlock, giving up the first three-run homer to Baez last night. I absolutely put going back to Weissert in extra innings on Cora. Why do you need – I'm afraid to go to that guy for one inning. Why do you need to go back to him for a second inning? Cora's logic after the game, his explanation was, well, Hendricks was the last guy in the pen.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, right. But you were up two.
Right.
Hendricks has closed out a million games in his career. He's not vintage Liam Hendricks, but why are you worried about the 12th or 13th or 14th inning and overworking a guy? Why don't you just go to Hendricks? Why wouldn't you just go to him in that spot to try to close it out? And if you don't, oh, well, you got to find a starter and lean on them. And Hunter Dobbins, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to stretch yourself out and pitch a few extra innings, and we'll call up somebody from AAA if that's what it comes to. Why don't you worry about winning the game that's in front of you? And he was worried about sticking with Weissert. If that's even what he was really worried about, maybe he was just trying to defend the decision after the fact. But I would absolutely have Cora on the list last night. And last one feels bad. You had a two-run lead in extra innings.
You had it.
You should have had good feelings with Campbell giving you the lead, and you let it slip away, and you're back to 500. Last night was atrocious.
No, I know, especially when it looked like you'd started to dig yourself out of it a little bit. I mean, you were a couple of games over 500. You had this little funk you thought you put behind you. And now you're at the risk of getting swept by the Tigers. Scooble's going tonight. Yeah, so you lose the first two games of the series.
You're going to chalk that up as a sweep? I would chalk that up as a sweep.
Hunter Dobbins versus Tarik Skubal. At least that matchup alone.
Dobbins has been kind of good.
Yeah, okay. Skubal's pretty good too.
Yeah, no, so, Skubal. If you're asking me to pick one or the other, would you rather Wednesday, Keefe? Yeah. I would rather Skubal. I would.
No, Dobbins coming up. In fact, the game I mentioned where they didn't score any runs in 12 innings against the Royals, that was a Dobbins game. He pitched well in that.
Yeah, he's been good.
I'll give you that. But yeah, not ideal. And then, oh, by the way, Chris Sale on Friday.
Sale Crochet on Friday.
That's pretty sick.
That is pretty good. Yeah, I like that. I mean, there might be a game under 500 and losers of three in a row and getting swept by the Detroit Tigers.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
But that's a pretty good one. How do they fix it?
I think, you know, enough is enough. You got to call up Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony. And you could argue, well, last night that wasn't the issue. True. But I think they need to just shake things up a little bit. They need a shock to the system. They need to figure out who's playing where, who's going to hit where in the lineup. Also, you see it all the time in all sports. You bring up a top prospect or a young guy or something, it just might change the energy overall in the whole room. And you can do it with two guys. So it's not even, here comes Roman Anthony, and now all eyes are on Anthony. Like, you got to change this team around. Call up Anthony and Meyer together. They have a great relationship with Campbell. So now you have these three dudes all out there, and maybe there's some sort of, like, trickle-down to the rest of the roster. I think they desperately need that because this current room – win a couple, lose a couple, win a couple, lose a couple. They can't really get anything going.
So I just think you're starting to see that throughout baseball. I agree 1,000%. Call up these kids. Jordan Lawler is up with the Diamondbacks. He's a top prospect in baseball. He's up. The Cubs just called up Ballesteros, another top prospect. So teams are now starting to do it. And they're all just as guilty as you are manipulating service
time.
Yeah,
they all should have been up a month ago.
The A's has been starting to do it too.
Yeah, good one. Actually, that's a great one. The A's called up Kurz a while ago. They just called up another kid, right? Or they're about to?
I think they're about to.
Okay, so like the A's are about to do it. You hope the Red Sox are about to do it. All these cheap-ass owners manipulating service time, they're all starting to call up their kids. You got to do it too, and I think they will. I hope they do it personally. I know you disagree with this, Keefe. I hope personally they do it in conjunction with Devers moving to first. Devers goes to first. Anthony can play some days in the outfield, some days at DH. You can mix and match with different guys there. Maybe Meyer is up shortly after that as well, or at the same time, do it all together. That's how you fix it. This group, month and a half. I know a lot of times you want to go 2 full months. 2 months to see what you have. 2 months to fix it.
Yeah.
2 months for the kick stretch. I know that's kind of the old school way of looking at building a team. Over a 6-month season, month and a half, you're right there. I've seen enough. Other teams are calling up their kids. Call up your kids, change the chemistry on the team, change the talent level on the team, and send a message that what you're doing isn't acceptable. I think calling up Anthony and Meyer, if nothing else, it would send that message. Like, hey, everybody, you think you're safe? Everybody, you think you're doing enough? You're not. These kids are here. They're going to play. If you don't produce, these guys are here to play and to produce. They're the future of the team. You're not safe. I think that message needs to be sent. But again, I would put ownership in the crosshairs for this. I would have Breslow there as well. It's the one thing I kind of blame those guys for. Otherwise, I think they've had a more aggressive offseason in years past. I applaud Henry and Breslow for going to Kansas City and trying to, in the case of Breslow, and doing it. In the case of Henry, actually meeting with Rafael Devers, because you know Cora won't do it. So I applaud them for it. But Cora's somewhere on the list for this too. Like, oh, now we're going to stick with the veterans and keep playing these guys. Call the kids up and fix it, because it's annoying at this point.
I mean, you saw the instant dividends from Christian Campbell. He started the year with the club and was good, has been good, hits another home run last night. So, yeah, there's no real good reason for it to sit these guys when you have somebody like Casas go down. Not a good night to point this out because they both actually hit. But David Hamilton and Nick Sogard probably shouldn't be in your lineup when you have guys like Anthony and Meyer ready to go, killing it at AAA.
And just in case you don't know, these aren't just kids in AAA. These are two of the top prospects in baseball.
All of baseball.
Two of the best prospects in the entire sport just sitting there.
The guy ranked rotting below those two is having a good year.
Yes. He's your cleanup hitter. And just gave put you in front with a two-run homer last night. The guy ranked below those two on the prospect
list.
Which,
by the way, him hitting cleanup for you makes me feel like you could just move him to first base. You know, and I think days have changed. Not all first basemen are 30, 40 home run guys anyway. So maybe it doesn't really matter as long as your whole lineup's good. But your original first baseman was your number four hitter, and then you eventually had to move him down, and then he gets hurt and he's out.
Where was Toro hitting last night? Seventh?
No, Sogard was in last night.
Sogard.
Yeah, Sogard was in last night, and he was hitting. He was actually hitting sixth. Hamilton was hitting eighth, just because Rafael was hitting ninth. But yeah, you can change that. I don't know. In Detroit tonight, then they have a long homestand. So I don't know if you call them up at some point in the homestand, but it really should happen sooner rather than later.
My prediction is on this homestand, you start to see images, because there's going to be a million beat writers there at these home games. You start seeing images of Devers before the game taking grounders at first.
Okay, we'll see.
On this homestand.
It's still been kind of crickets on that, right?
Yeah, but how many guys are traveling with them to Detroit? I don't think the Red Sox beat writers are exactly the same traveling pack. And I think if you really want to put on a big song and dance about it, a big show, that's where you do it. We can ask Brad Full about it tomorrow.
But it was also, but you had a song and dance. Last week, you had John Henry go to Kansas City. Mm-hmm. It's been however many days since then.
But isn't
still
it
just DHing.
Isn't it too obvious that the owner went? It's obvious either way. I think we know what happened.
The fact that we know that he went.
But if Henry goes on a Friday?
Yeah.
Henry flies out there, yells at him, and the next day he's out there taking grounders. I think that's so obvious. I think we'll know either way.
Yeah.
But if there's a little buffer in there, it's like, Devers actually wanted to do this, or this was always the plan, or you can just say.
But I just think
the optics are a little different if you wait a little bit.
I guess, but like slow playing it makes no sense. So you and I disagree. I would say forget it. Don't even put him out there. If you are going to put him out there, every minute counts, doesn't it? Like, don't you want to see if he can do it? Why wait till June to see if he can maybe be your first baseman?
Before Cassis even got hurt, I wanted him to start taking grounders at first. I'm like, it's moronic he's not just trying
it
to
is.
Do it. What else are you doing?
Just
what else
out.
Are you doing? Just take some grounders at first before the game. Why is that a taxing thing?
Going over to third.
So I wanted him to do that
trying
when Cassis was healthy.
Yeah.
Never mind once Cassis got hurt. I wanted that anyway. So I do agree with you on that, but I wonder if the Red Sox are saying, hey, it would be very embarrassing for you, Raffy, the next day after the owner came and yelled at you to start taking grounders. Take a week. Take a week to wrap your head around it and get your mind right. And when we get back home, you're taking ground. Get your ass out there and take grounders at first. Find the Dick's Sporting Goods and buy your glove out there.
How long did it take him to wrap his head around DH? Is it maybe the same kind of buffer? They're
weeks,
like, all right, it took you a week or two to wrap your head around it. Great. That's your process.
Yeah, you're such a grown up.
Now we'll get you over to first base. You need 2 weeks? Fine. Take your 2 weeks. And then you get over to first base.
So I'm not telling you he plays in games at first on this homestand. That won't happen. But we get images of him on this homestand taking grounders at first at Fenway before one of these games.
If he plays first base, I still think it's an if. If he plays first base, the first game will be on the road.
Yeah, that might be true.
You don't want to hear if he boots
a bad
it.
Team.
Yeah, just to sort of like a soft launch before he comes home and hears it from the crowd.
All right, let's take a look at this. So the homestand is Atlanta, Mets, or is a long homestand.
Yeah, 10 games.
So 10-game homestand. He'll be taking grounders.
He won't play first there.
May 26th at Milwaukee.
Maybe.
That's a maybe?
Yeah, it's a maybe. Put me down for a maybe.
That's
is that Memorial
that's
Day?
That's Memorial Day, so maybe. Is that a good day or a bad day to
do it? Over under Memorial Day. I'll say certainly over.
Okay.
He's not starting at first base inside of Memorial Day. You think so? He might not own a mitt.
I don't know if a... Yeah, I don't know if that game's the game, but somewhere on that trip, I think he's playing a game at first.
Maybe he learns it during the All-Star break.
That would be my guess.
Okay.
And then you want Campbell at first, Meyer up. The problem with my plan is I don't have a great spot for Marcelo Meyer. Anthony.
Second base.
Anthony, to me, is very logical. No. I'm saying if Devers is at first, I don't have a great spot for Meyer because Campbell's at second.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's why you keep Devers at DH.
Do you platoon with Story for a little bit, left, right?
Eesh.
Story's been platooning with David Hamilton, so.
Yeah,
that's true,
I guess.
Is that enough, though, to call up Meyer?
Would you
and
like
not have
Meyer
to
play every day?
Yes.
But
I'd have Anthony play every day in left, move Duran to center. I would have Campbell at first. I'd have Meyer at second. I'd have Rafaela back up everybody because I'd have Abreu in right.
Rafaela's Swiss Army knife everywhere.
Yeah, you can play short. You can play second. You can play all the outfield spots. Or, I mean, I guess you'd have him in center and you can move the other guys, but. That's what I would do. I think that you'd be best suited with that.
Speaking of Rafaela, so Passan, I mentioned this earlier today, Keith. I don't think there was much in it, but Jeff Passan wrote like a glowing piece about Alex Bregman and how he's changed the clubhouse and the culture and everything. And I'm like, well, has he? I love Bregman. No one wanted Bregman more than me.
They have the same record as they did last year.
They're 500.
Yeah,
like, what
same.
Do you mean he changed anything? Like, what are you talking about? He changed anything?
Vibes are good.
Great vibes.
High vibes.
Team. Can't you tell? But so. Tucked in the story was more criticism of Rafaela. I meant to bring this up earlier, actually.
Oh, they're laying the groundwork.
So, basically, it's framed in a way where Bregman is pointing to Rafaela. He's picked out a few things in his swing, and he's helped him, and Rafaela has four multi-hit games in his last eight going into when this story was written, right? But tucked in there was a criticism It says, talking about ways to improve Rafaela's poor swing decisions.
Oh, boy.
He couldn't help but chime in. So McAdams,
a free swinger.
McAdams started with this over the weekend. Players are perplexed, or however he worded it, or people within the organization are perplexed multiple times this year. They've gone to Rafaela, told him not to swing at the first pitch in his next at-bat. He comes out, he swings at the first pitch in the at-bat. Middlebrooks was complaining about this a little bit on the broadcast last night. That's now a thing. I think they're putting that out there to soften the blow for when Rafaela goes to the bench and get Anthony up here. I think
Which
those guys
are so unnecessary.
Those guys are going to be here, but Keith, they're trying to make it look like there's a baseball reason and not just cheap ass service time manipulation with calling up Anthony. So I think that campaign is underway.
I think it's wildly unnecessary. I don't think anybody would bat an eye. They'd be like, "What took so long?" They'd be like, "Oh, it's the service time thing. You guys are cheaping out on it." But whatever. As long as Anthony's up here and playing, nobody's going to be crying for Rafaela to not play.
You're saying the baseball reason could be he's hitting 242 with a 670 OPS.
Right.
It's probably a pretty good baseball reason.
Text line says, Devers is in a no-lose situation. If he sucks at first base, he can say, I told you I didn't want to do it. And if he's good, he's a hero.
Yeah, so you brought this up the other day. You're like, if he's at first and he's not playing it well, you personally,
I'd be like, what'd you want him to do? They threw him out there in June.
Well, tell me how bad the play is, and maybe I'll break that down. But that's mostly fair by you. If he's being a good teammate, going out there, and he's not a good teammate, but if he ultimately swallows his pride and goes out to first base and does it, and he embarrasses himself.
But I mean,
depending on how bad it is, we should give him a bit of a free pass because he's doing it for the team.
But it's also one of those things, like, how bad can it really be? Like, he was the worst third baseman. Third baseman's a lot more difficult to play than first. So he is, you could say,
well, Sogard and Romy and Toro are all sucking it up at first base too,
and
defensively.
Casas isn't even that good.
Right.
It's not like you're replacing Doug Minkiewicz or JT Snow.
It's true.
Like, I think
those guys pick it.
Pick it. Scoops for days. You want a guy with scoops? I want Scoops Minkiewicz.
It's true.
Throw it anywhere over there, he's going to come up with it.
Let's go to the phones. Ralph is in Cranston. Hello, Ralph.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I'll pass that. You know, this Devers thing, Devers is who he is. I don't know why they sent Henry or going up to see him. This is Cora's thing. But I think it makes so much sense. Story. Try Story. At first, he's not a really good or long-term shortstop. You could put Maya there right now and see how it goes.
Okay, so Story was not on either of our top five Friday lists last week, Keith, to play first base.
Yeah.
We do get this one from time to time.
I don't mind it. I mean, I would do it. I would say right now, isn't Story a better defensive shortstop than Meyer right now?
Probably.
So I would let that play out and then start next season and figure out Story.
I mean,
let him play short until he gets hurt or whatever.
If Devers is going to be a giant blubbering baby and stay at DH and now you need a solution, I would put Meyer at first before Story.
Yeah, I would put Meyer first for this year. I think going forward, I want him to be the shortstop.
Oh,
and
he's talking
long
term. Well, maybe.
Either way, I mean, I think he's saying now Story at first.
Right now, I initially was like, I'm not wasting Meyer at first base. That's stupid, but it's stupid to waste him in AAA. So
yes.
I've actually warmed to Meyer at first a little bit.
Agreed.
How about our buddy JP in North Providence? Hello, JP.
Jones, Keith. Jones is the vulture. You're going to appreciate this. I apologize for all the jokes I made about Tatum calling him mashed potatoes. He is a hot potato. He was hot. He was money. No more jokes ever again. I hope he recovers. But I got a good nickname for Devers. Back in the 60s, we had Dr. Strangelove at first base. If Devers goes there, it's going to be nicknamed the Endeavor.
The Endeavor?
The Endeavor.
Who was Dr. Strangelove? I should know this.
We
That's a
should
reference
know.
Before my time.
That's pre-Carlos Quintana. He was my first baseman.
It wasn't George Scott? Who was Dr. Strangelove?
We should know. There's a few former hosts on this station.
Was
that
it in the nickname bracket?
not
ours, no. But yeah, maybe. I don't think it may.
Dick Stewart.
Dick Stewart, thank you.
Yeah, the late Dick Stewart.
George Scott might have been a better. I didn't mean to sully the defensive.
That's a deep cut, though, by JP. He played for the Red Sox in 63 and 64.
Oh, man. George Scott, 8 gold gloves. How dare I? Dick Stewart was Dr. Strangelove.
AKA Dr. Strangelove. What a great nickname. Holy smokes.
I don't know why we needed to reference that to make Devers the Endeavor, but whatever.
I think it's. I'm glad you brought that to my attention.
I thought we were going to get a doctor or a glove or something. But
we had Kyle from Waltham in 2021.
Kyle from Waltham.
I did like Kyle from Waltham.
That was good.
Okay.
He led the league in RBI in that 63 season.
Who's that?
Strangelove.
Well, that's why you had to get him. I mean, He gaveth and he tooketh away.
I don't think he was known. Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's known for the stick.
You know what he was
just
called?
Like Devers.
You know what he was called originally before Dr. Strangelove?
Mr. Big Bat.
And this was a nickname given to him by Hank Aaron.
Oh,
Stone Fingers. Old Stone Fingers Stewart.
It's my nickname in high school.
Sick brag, bro.
Those girls will never be the same. Yeah, Dr. Strangelove, pretty good. Because the movie didn't even come out, so he used Stone Fingers. Then the movie came out.
And they're like, whoa, Stone Fingers, you're out. Yeah. You're Strangelove.
24 errors at first base that season. At first base?
Yeah, but that was a tough official score. Yeah. I think everybody knew it that year.
33 homers, 114 RBI, though. You might look the other way.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That sounds like Devers.
It does.
Devers, what was it? 34 what?
33 home runs and 114 RBI.
And will we put up with 24 errors at first base if Devers is doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, me
Hell
too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he'd be making more errors at first base than he did at third if that was the
Correct.
Case, though.
Yeah, but they're constantly throwing you the ball over there. You got to catch it every time.
Yeah, higher degree of difficulty. Well, you're more involved.
Yeah.
There you go. 617-779-7937. That's how you dial up.
He had a physical resemblance to Ted Williams, it says.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. He's like a Ted Williams doppelganger.
There was a lot. Oh, you know what else is in the passing story? Yeah. A lot of Ted Williams mentions. Yep. But did you know Bregman's dad is running for governor in New Mexico?
I did not. Good luck to him. When's the vote?
He sounds like a more... He's a longer shot candidate.
Will
in
he
New
finish
Mexico.
Better than third?
Does he have some wild ideas?
I don't. Well,
why is he?
He's framed himself as a bit of a centrist, from what I was reading.
Okay.
Yeah. He's criticizing the radical left, but also Elon Musk is the puppet master for Trump. Something like that. I forget the man's platform.
There should be.
He's indecisive.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's true.
Yeah, it's true.
But it shouldn't be a two-party thing.
Look, I'm telling everybody.
If you hate the left and you hate the right, you probably should have a chance, but you just don't.
Bregman. If you're out there listening, tell your dad.
Yeah.
It's New Mexico. Roswell, for God's sakes.
That's right.
Dolce, New Mexico. Keith.
Alien stuff.
Tell us about the aliens.
We're going to win. Alien stuff.
You're going to win in a landslide.
You'll even get some alien votes. They're
true.
Probably there mingling around.
That's true. So many votes. That's a big chunk of the population.
Great platform.
There.
Guys, my alien platform. We're just going to release the facts.
Okay. We'll get to your phone calls, 617-779-7937. You can dial up WEEI Afternoons. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted live at Scores, just steps away from TD Garden for Game 5 tonight. We will get you our clip du jour and right after trending with Billy Lanny. It's time for Grab Bag.
There goes my grab bag. Watch it as it grabs.